What do millennials all have in common besides being young adults trying to carve out careers and start families? It's that the vast majority graduated from high school with no formal training in personal finances. Sadly, most high schools don't teach financial literacy, so young people enter the working world or go off to college knowing very little about managing money. Financial planner and teacher Rob West has a crash course today. And then it's your calls on anything at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Money tips for young adults. That's next right here on MoneyWise. MoneyWise Live, I should say. We are both warm, but still alive here today, aren't we, Rob?
We sure are, Steve. Absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Rob, what evidence do we have, really, that the millennial generation is having a difficult time managing money?
Plenty, unfortunately. A study by the Federal Reserve shows that millennials have racked up $1 trillion in debt. That's an increase of 22% in just 5 years, and the most of any generation in its history. So there's no question that financial literacy should be a priority in K-12 curriculum, in my view.
All right. Well, let's jump into it here. What's the first thing millennials, and all of us in reality, need to know about managing money?
Well, that would be, Steve Moore, learning to just say no. When you're young and just starting out on your own, there's a temptation to overspend as you begin to take control of your life. Everyone needs to learn a key skill called delayed gratification, but especially young adults. They'll start getting credit card offers, which at first seem like a source of easy money. Charge now, pay later. You avoid that by developing a spending plan that allows you to live on less than you earn. Learning to live below your means is the difference between financial freedom and disaster.
You know, as I think back when I was a young man, it's not that I really had my act together. It's that credit cards had not been invented yet. So, frankly, I just didn't have the opportunity to overspend, not in that way. But now it's a whole new deal, that's for sure. Okay, so just say no to overspending, including or especially credit cards. Have a plan. What's next?
Well, your spending plan won't do you much good if you're not watching where your money goes. There are plenty of free apps available to track your spending. I'd download one and put it to work. By the way, a preview of coming attractions, our new MoneyWise app will be out in the next couple of months. Can't wait to tell you more about that. But if you do that, pretty soon you'll see that daily $3 cup of coffee cost you nearly $100 a month. Sorry, Steve. By tracking your spending, you'll start to get a picture of unnecessary expenses you can trim to stay within your spending plan.
Okay. All right. Well, let's say our millennial has done all those things and now has some money left over at the end of the month, hopefully, after meeting all the expenses. Then what?
Well, now that person has to ask, how do I feel about moving in with mom and dad?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, that's probably what will happen if you don't plan for the unexpected, like a temporary job loss or the transmission going out in the car. If you can't pay the rent, you'll need a place to stay, and hopefully the folks haven't turned your bedroom into a home theater. The solution is to start plowing your surplus money into an emergency fund. I'd say start with a goal of $1,500. Once you have that saved up, keep going for 1 month's living expenses, and don't stop until you have at least 3 months' expenses saved up. That way, you'll be ready for unplanned expenses and you won't have to make that uncomfortable call home.
That's right. Always plan for unplanned expenses. Okay, what's next?
Well, once you have your emergency fund in place, you can turn to longer-range savings goals. That would include things like a car, a down payment on a house, and, of course, longer-term than that, retirement. If you're making a car payment, once it's paid off, keep putting the same amount into savings for your next car. So when the one you're driving now dies, you can make a substantial down payment on a new one. Ideally, you get to the point where you can pay cash entirely without taking out a car loan in the first place. Now, lenders are happy to give you a mortgage with less than 20% down because you'll have to pay PMI, private mortgage insurance, which, by the way, only protects them. Avoid that temptation and save up 20% instead. Also, you want to have saved 10 to 15% of your income for retirement. It's difficult for young people to think that far ahead, but the earlier you start, the better. Think about this. If you were to invest just $100 a month at age 30 with an annual yield of 8%, which the S&P has easily done over the last 100 years, by the time you reach age 67, you'd have nearly $300,000. $500 a month? Well, $1.3 million. That's the power of compound savings over a long period of time.
This is MoneyWise Live. Please stick around.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Did you know passing the offering plate was unheard of in American worship services before the late 19th century?
Since American colonial churches were expected to serve the common good, they were thus funded by public taxes and fees. But in the years following the American Revolution, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, along with many pastors and church leaders, began to speak out against the religious establishment benefiting from poll taxes.
And when Massachusetts put an end to its religious tax in 1833, it forever changed the landscape in the way American churches funded themselves.
Local congregations also look to the Bible for principles of voluntary giving, calling attention to passages like Malachi 3:10 in bringing tithes and offerings into the storehouse as an act of worship.
Engage with the Bible in its history and impact.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
We're talking about finances. Obviously, why not? The program is called Money Wise Live, and it's important to be money wise at the earliest possible age. If we can help you with that today, give us a call, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. Even if the schools, high schools, colleges aren't teaching personal finance, that doesn't mean that parents can't, and it really is vital. In fact, our Facebook question of the day, Rob, is how did you learn about managing your personal finances? We've had quite a number of responses. Let me read a couple here. Daisy says, I learned to buy only within my budget, and when I didn't have enough, I learned to lean on God, and I always had just enough. God is good. And then Annette says, my first husband took care of everything financial when he passed away. Then I had to learn.
That's right. We've heard some from other folks. Shauna said, growing up poor taught me to appreciate and be wise stewards of everything we've been blessed with. Sally said, my father taught me, and then reading Christian financial books, and we appreciate this, listening to MoneyWise. Cole said, trial and error. Kathy gave a shout out to Larry Burkett and her dad. Love that. And then Ben says, personal management merit badge from the Boy Scouts. You gotta love that.
You got to love it. And I wasn't aware that they had one when I was a Boy Scout. I don't remember that one, but maybe it was newly added. And as we've said before, nothing more important than hearing about managing money. It's one of the things that men and women will have to use for their entire lives. Again, our phone number, if you'd like to join our conversation about any financial topic, it's 800-525-7000. And we have three or four open lines right now, so this would be a great time to get in line. Let's begin by going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Rebecca, how can we help you?
Hi. Yes, hi. I had a question about, well, two questions really, and it's about, you know, spending my money or investing my money in a godly way. And I had a credit card with Wells Fargo, and unfortunately we had our mortgage with that. I'm very regretful now. And I found out that they directly support the Planned Parenthood. I got a whole list of companies that directly support the Planned Parenthood. So my husband's in the midst of canceling that card out. It was a MasterCard. And what I wanted to know was, how do I go about getting a card that is American Express also directly gives to Planned Parenthood? So how do I go about finding out a card that I can get that doesn't do that? And the other question was about funds. We both have, you know, for retirement funds, we have money in Vanguard, and an advisor there for a small fee manages it for us. But he buys and sells in these funds. We're a mixture of stocks and bonds, and I do not know if my money is going into any of these companies, because there's many of them that actually do support to things that I know that would not honor God. And, you know, I didn't want that. And I don't know how.
Yeah.
It's very confusing for me to figure this out and to know then where my money's being invested, especially since, you know, he's in charge of switching it around.
Well, sure, and I appreciate those questions, Rebecca. Let me help you understand where you can go from here, because there is a growing number of Christians who want to be able to do business with organizations where they don't use the corporate profits or their primary business activity is not directed in such a way that is conflicting with their values and priorities as believers. And that could be the products and services you use, the people you do business with. It could also be, as you said, in your investments. And the good news is there's a growing number of investment solutions out there that are world class that allow you, based on your own convictions, to either screen out certain companies that conflict with your values, screen in certain companies because of the difference that they're making in the world, perhaps even a kingdom impact, and then even understand what it looks like to be engaged in the companies you own through shareholder engagement. You can vote proxies. You can attend even virtually shareholder meetings. You can talk to investor relations or write letters to the company. All of these things as an owner, even a very small owner, make a difference because you're making your wishes known. And if enough people do that, you can actually influence the company. But let's talk specifically about these two things. The first thing you mentioned was a credit card. Other than going to a Christian credit union, which would probably be the first place I would go, I know Thrive has a credit union that's for believers. There's a number of them. ECCU out in California would be another one. You could just Google Christian credit union, and that would be one way for you to get a credit card put out by an organization that serves Christians and obviously will be sure that nothing that you're doing in terms of any merchant fees they receive or anything they receive from you is being used for something that would conflict with your values. So that would be the first place that I would go. Again, Thrive It, Christian Credit Union, or ECCU, or any number of other ones. In fact, you may have one local to you. I would just check it out. The second thing is with regard to the investment solutions, if you want an advisor who's actually going to manage this money for you, what you'll want to do is when you contact or interview an advisor, you'll want to say, do you offer faith-based investment solutions? And you'll have a conversation at that point about your convictions, what you're looking for, what you want to avoid. And most of the certified kingdom advisors that you'll come across – will either be able to offer that or can get you to somebody who can. So there in Lancaster, there's some wonderful CKAs that I know specialize in what we call faith-based or faith-driven investing. And you can find those individuals, interview them, and find the one that's the right fit for you when you go to moneywiselive.org and then just click on Find a CKA, type in your zip code. I would interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit.
Rebecca, we hope that helps you. And again, for a Christian credit union, Thrivent is a great one that we know about. And then ECCU, which stands for the Evangelical Christian Credit Union. They've been around for a long, long time. You'll find all that information online. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Hi, Titus. What's the situation in your life?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We have an older woman who's been a part of my wife's life for the past 20 years, kind of a spiritual mother to her. And presently, that woman's dying from cancer. And she doesn't have, she's unmarried, doesn't have any children of her own. So my wife's kind of the closest family she has. So my wife's the power of attorney and's making all the decisions on her care and her finances. And so we were going along well. We had hospice coming, and her desire is to die in her home with her gardens and her dog around her. And so we had hospice coming in, and we were using friends to come and check in on her and care for her. But about 4 weeks ago, she took a turn for the worse, and we decided it was too much to ask of friends to care for her in that way. So we hired a service, an aid service, to come in and be there 24 hours a day to keep an eye on her and care for her. And at that point, she had about 6 weeks worth of finances set aside to cover that aid service. And the way she had declined, we thought that would be more than enough because she was on the decline so much. Well, now we're about 4.5 weeks later. Her decline has slowed, and we're soon going to be, her money is going to be depleted, and we really want to honor her wishes, keep her in her home with her dogs and her gardens, and keep her getting the care she needs. So some people said, you know, just friends said, well, what about a reverse mortgage, personal loan, or a home equity line of credit? We're just trying to figure out how we can honor her wish and keep her where she wants to be.
Yeah, yeah, I certainly appreciate that. And as long as she's not mentally competent to make that decision, then obviously that would be where the power of attorney comes in. I would consult with an estate professional or attorney before using that power of attorney, just to make sure you do that properly. And if you don't have one, you could find a godly estate planning attorney by contacting a certified kingdom advisor there in Pennsylvania, asking for a referral, or you could even check with your local church. You know, as to the option of the reverse mortgage, obviously, you know, the main impact that would have would be on any heirs that would receive that. They would have to satisfy whatever the balance is before they received any proceeds. The reason we don't recommend it as kind of a first option for most folks is just it tends to be quite costly. When you add up the imputed interest rate plus all the fees that are upfront and ongoing, it tends to be an expensive source of funds. Plus, I don't ever like funding lifestyle with debt. But I also would say that there are certain situations, as long as you shop around and make sure you work with a reputable reverse mortgage provider that offers reasonable costing, that it can be very effective, especially in a situation like this. As long as you feel like there's the resources there to maintain the home in terms of the property taxes and the insurance and cover her other expenses, this can provide a great source of income where you basically monetize her ability to cover her expenses or you on her behalf by tapping into the home as an asset. And so, you know, that certainly can be a way, given that you would like to honor her wish to stay there, that can be a way for you to do that. So I'm not against that as a strategy. I think that certainly could accomplish what you're looking for. I would just make sure you check in with an attorney first, and I would do your homework as to which reverse mortgage provider you go with.
Titus, we hope that information helps you, and we'll pray that God will bless you and your wife as you work through this difficult time. You are generous, generous people, and we're glad you called today. This is MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Our phone number is 800-525-7000. Call right now. We'd love to hear from you.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I want you to see when it says in Romans 8 that those of us in verse 5 who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that sinful nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit, living in accordance with the Spirit involves a mindset. You and I still can think fluently with the mind of our old flesh. We think it's just like we're bilingual. We have a bi mindset. We can either think according to that old man, or we can think according to the new man. We choose in a manner. I can either think this through, and we catch ourselves in, you know, meditation only means thinking and rethinking something. That's all in the world meditation is. And when we find ourselves meditating out of carnality, how critical we feel towards somebody, how mad we are at somebody, how angry, how when lust overwhelms us, whatever it may be, all we're doing is when we catch ourselves in that mindset of the flesh, shift. Now listen, we have got to starve what we want to die, and we have got to feed what we want to live. That just is the way it is. There's not going to be a new way to do it. We want to feed that with what we watch on television. We want to feed that with what we listen to. We want to feed that with what we look at and read. We want to feed that in our conversation. Whatever is most alive in us is what we're feeding most. It just is. It just is.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you'd like to find out more about who we are, what we do, and what resources we have available for you, you might check us out at moneywiselive.org, moneywiselive.org. There you'll find a number of budget resources, radio archives from past radio programs over the last year, how to find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, and how to connect with a budget coach at no charge. All that and more when you visit moneywiselive.org. And it's also where you can go if you'd like to make a donation. We'd be blessed and honored if you'd consider that. Just click the Donate tab at the top of the page. Selma, Alabama. Hello, Tony. What's on your mind today?
Well, hi, this is Tony, and I've got a pension plan with my current employer, and I'm getting ready to retire. I'm 67 years old, and I can take three options. I can get $215,000 in lump sum, or I can take $1,300 a month for the option two. But if I were to pass away, my wife would get nothing. It would just end. The third option is $1,000 a month for me, and then if I pass away, then my wife will get $1,000 a month for her. Mm. And we're trying to decide which would be the best option.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony, obviously you're asking the right question here. You need to think long and hard about this. Let me ask you this. If something were to happen to you and you lost that $1,000 a month, would that create a hardship for your wife in terms of her ability to meet her obligations and cover her living expenses?
No, not really. I just want to be able to live good. I've got a pension with the railroad, too, I'm getting now. She was still be in good shape. She retired as a teacher, and she still too young to retire, so with Social Security. So she had been in good shape. I was just trying to find the best options for her.
Well, I think clearly you want to make sure, I mean, the key here is to allow this to pay out over the longest period of time possible. You know, I generally like the lump sum option just because it does a couple of things. Number one, yes, you're assuming the risk and the responsibility of managing it, but you have the money, you have the principal, and so you're kind of in the driver's seat. If you or your wife had a major long-term care expense for a year or two or more, you know, that could erode your assets in a hurry. It's probably your largest risk during that season of life. Well, the good news about having a $215,000 lump sum is that you could tap into that if you needed it. Now, if you convert that to an income, a lot of times in retirement, we use just as a rule of thumb, 4% a year. So let's say you were to take that $215,000 and earn 4% a year before tax, of course, unless it's in an IRA. But then you'd have to, as you take it out, pay income taxes on it. You'd throw off about $8,600 a year. So not quite $1,000 a month. I mean, we're in the 700s, but you're getting $700 a month, and you're hanging on ideally to that $215,000. So you have the amount there that you or your wife could need, or you could pass it on to heirs or give it away, and you're supplementing your income. I like that option the best, just because I feel like it gives you both both a supplement to your income and access to the capital if you need it. The only time perhaps it makes more sense, at least in my view, to take the monthly payout is where there's a gap between what you are expecting to come in to meet your expenses in other income sources in retirement and what's needed. And by taking the lump sum, or excuse me, by taking the monthly payout, you're able to cover that gap, and therefore you have peace of mind knowing that, let's say you took the $1,000 a month, you have peace of mind knowing that for the rest of your life and your wife's life, you have that gap covered, and you sleep well at night knowing you don't have to take any risk. The risk has been transferred to the company, and you know, you have that monthly income for life. But if you feel like you've got other sources to take care of that, and this is really just over and above that, I prefer the lump sum because you've got that available if you need it, and you're still throwing off some income. We've got just about 15 seconds left. What are your thoughts? Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, if you want some deeper analysis, connect with a CKA there in Selma. Just go to MoneyWiseLive.org and click on Find a CKA and connect with one in your area.
Thanks, Tony. God bless you. Thanks very much. And we'll be right back after this brief break.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, this is John Hemmer from Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2. When God created mankind, He made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And He named them mankind when they were created. That's Genesis 5, verses 1 and 2, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
Here's how one person described the impact of Moody Radio.
It's gotten me to focus on Christ more, starting with reading God's Word, but that also carries over into being a father, being a husband, and also be there for somebody that might be seeking Christ.
Help reach listeners like this with the Word of God.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The White House is pushing back against criticism from Democrats over the sending of federal agents to deal with unrest on the streets of Portland. Democratic politicians denouncing President Trump's deployment of federal forces to Portland, but White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says the president remains resolute, and the administration might send federal agents to Chicago and other major American cities. Residents from 31 states must now quarantine for 14 days when arriving in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, as dozens of states are facing positive COVID-19 rates. Ukrainian police say an armed man who seized hostages on a bus in the western city of Lusk has been detained. All of the people he had held have been freed unharmed. Stocks were mixed. The Dow gained 159 points, but the NASDAQ was off 86. This is SRN News.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live, where we do our best to help you find God's plan for your personal finances. If we can help you, well, we'd like to try. 800-525-7000. Let's go to, how about Norwalk, Ohio? Hi, Mary. Thanks so much for your patience. And what's your question for Rob?
I was wondering about paying off our home, which is currently, we owe $56,085.42. We got a small inheritance of $100,000 to play with, basically. There's nothing in retirement. We don't have any other debt, no credit cards, just budgeted things. And what we're thinking about, because we need renovation done on the inside, the kitchen and the bathroom, it's never been done, and this house was built during World War II, so it's a little house. But we love it. And we want to pay $40,000 on it and keep out and refinance what is left. Does that sound like a good idea, or should we just pay the whole thing off?
Okay, so let me make sure I understand. You owe $56,000 on the house. You received $100,000, and you're looking at putting $40,000 against the $56,000, which would mean that you'd have $16,000 remaining. Is that right?
Right, because we still owe taxes on that money. We still owe taxes and other things that we have to pay up. So we really typically could only just pay the $56,000 or keep some back so that we'd have enough to do the kitchen and take care of those things. And we wanted to refinance the 20, it was 20-some thousand, in order to bring down our interest rate, because we pay an ungodly high interest rate. It's like 6.75%.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's really high.
Yeah. The challenge you're going to have, Mary, is a lot of times when you get below a certain threshold, you're going to have a hard time getting a mortgage. In some cases, that's $30,000. It may be $25,000. But that's going to be one of the challenges that you're going to have if you don't pay it off. You know, you're going to need to look around just to see what's the minimum mortgage you're going to need to carry. Now, as soon as you refinance it, you could pay it down. Granted, you're going to have some fees associated with that, the amount that you refinance, and so you've got to do the cost-benefit analysis there. But given the interest rate you're talking about, I think it'll still make sense, especially because you're planning on staying in this house for a while. How much will you have in savings after you pay the things you have to pay? You mentioned taxes and a few other things, and then the home improvement. How much will you have in savings after this is all done, based on the scenario you described?
I'm guessing right around 35,000.
Okay, so you'll have $35,000 in savings. You think you'll have a mortgage of about $25,000. You'll be debt-free otherwise, but you won't have anything in retirement. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, and do you have a are you or your husband working?
We are both on disability. He recently, 2 years ago, had a heart attack and then just finished radiation therapy for prostate cancer a few months ago. So he is in good health by the grace of God. I have some health issues, but I'm, by the grace of God again, still he is walking with me and we're doing good considering. Mm. We're doing real good.
All right. Are you taking Social Security at this point or not yet?
Yes, we both are, and I'm getting disability pay actually from the work that I had 11 years ago because of what had happened to me at work. I had been smashed between two tow motor and a skid and messed my back up and had surgeries. Mm-hmm. And there's just problems, but I'm still here. I'm still ticking, and God's still on his throne, so I'm blessed.
Yes, ma'am. Well, when that disability goes away, do you feel like you'll be able to cover your expenses on Social Security alone?
Absolutely.
You do? Okay.
Absolutely.
Especially when this mortgage is paid off, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I plan on, we don't have any car payments. Our cars are in good shape. He recently got a new used truck, so we paid cash for that. Okay. And I don't believe in credit cards. I don't believe in going over budget. And I'm very frugal that way. God gave me a gift.
That's great. I love it. So let me make sure I understand. If you were to pay the whole mortgage off, you would be able to do that and take care of the kitchen and pay the taxes and everything else. You'd just be left with about $15,000 or $16,000 in savings versus $30,000. Is that right?
If that. Because by the time everything's done, I have a severe allergy to dogs. We've had dogs the past 20 years. I didn't even know about this allergy, but it put me in the hospital 5 times. And we're just trying to get all of that out of the home. And in order to do that, we've got to renovate it.
I see. Okay. Well, that's the only thing I'm wondering is just, you know, do you go ahead and pay the whole thing off? And then, you know, you take that mortgage payment every month and start replenishing your savings rather than paying the cost of the refinance. You know, there's going to be some expense associated with that. You may spend $500 or $1,000 just in the cost of the transaction. And obviously that could have gone towards some of these renovations and other things. So I would either go with your plan, but again, start looking first about where you can refinance, you know, with that small of a mortgage, because that's going to limit your options, or think about paying the whole thing off. But you got to do a pretty detailed budget before you do that to make sure that you can cover everything you need to do, including the allergies and the kitchen and everything else, and not deplete your savings, because I certainly wouldn't want you to get below 3 to 6 months expenses in that savings account. But I think one of those two options will put you on a good track. I'm glad to hear you're living frugally. The Lord has clearly provided for you, and we certainly appreciate your call today.
Yeah, Mary, God bless you. Thank you so much for that. Let's try to squeeze in Dennis in Michigan, and you're wondering about leasing versus buying a car, huh, Den?
Yes, sir.
All right, go right ahead. What's the information?
Well, I was just thinking I have my cars paid for, and it's been having some troubles. And I've been thinking of buying a new one or leasing a new one.
Yeah, yeah. Dennis, we're not fans of leases or new cars, but I'd be happier with a new car that you're going to drive for a long, long time before even a lease. You know, our typical approach to this is buy a good quality, highly rated 2, 3, or 4-year-old car with low mileage where you can get a reliable and trustworthy mechanic to look it over and give you his or her seal of approval before you make that purchase and then drive it till the wheels fall off. That's going to be the most cost effective. If you can afford it, you have the resources. There's nothing wrong with buying new. I would advocate for buying one that you're going to keep a long, long time. We turned in our last Honda Odyssey with 236,000 miles on it, and we got a lot of use out of that car. Here's why I don't like leasing, though, Dennis. Number one, it's really expensive in the long run. You know, here's the idea. When you lease, you're basically paying for the use of the vehicle for the first 2 or 3
years of its life, and that's when it depreciates for the most. And when it's over, you got to either lease another one or buy one. And so you're caught in this trap of funding these highly depreciating first couple of years over and over again. And then you have to add to that limited mileage, high insurance costs, because they may want to you to have a higher level of insurance coverage than you might. They're confusing. They're hard to get out of. There's lots of fees. Did I mention that you're funding the depreciation? So you put all that together, and it's just not my favorite way to go. So my recommendation, sir, would be go find a good quality 2-, 3-, or 4-year-old car, put as much down as you can, and drive it as long as you can.
And if you can't find one, Rob might have one with 200,000-300,000 miles
on it.
That's right. Dennis, we're glad you called. Thanks so much. Stick around. We'll be right back.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand the urgency and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. Today's chaos loudly suggests the urgency of sharing your faith. No man knows the day or the hour, but we will know the signs of the times, and the signs are like blinking red lights right now. It doesn't matter if you've never shared your faith or don't want to share your faith. These are not normal days. And with time running out, sharing your faith is not an option if you have friends who have yet to accept the Lord. You can't just hope someone else reaches them. Ezekiel 3:17 says he wants you to reach them. In fact, he wants you to reach everyone who falls under your influence. It's your job to tell them the enemy is coming. And by the way, look around. He is coming. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God just used you to lead somebody to him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Let's be honest, the big question that we all have in this whole coronavirus thing is, how will it impact me? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. Obviously, it is going to cause some serious suffering. Already, many have died. Many have lost their jobs or their businesses. And let's be honest, there's more to come, which can strike fear even in the hearts of those who believe in Jesus. Remember those 12 disciples in a small boat on the Sea of Galilee? The storm hit in the middle of the night. They were in fear for their lives. And then Jesus came walking out on the water, scaring them even more. But Peter cried out, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out onto the water." Jesus answered, "It is me. Come." And right there in the middle of the storm, Peter stepped out of the boat while the other 11 stayed back, cowering in fear. So in the middle of this storm, what's your plan? Step out in faith? Or hang back in fear?
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live. During times like these, it's important to remember without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And having faith, not just faith in faith, not just faith in what you think or what you believe or what the church says or what your neighbor says, but having faith in the promises of God Himself, that's what will get us through these difficult times, and I trust that that's going to happen. So hang in there, wear your mask. Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello, Ray. What's on your mind?
Hi, I was wondering if you can tell me if there's a way to make an HSA compatible with Christian Sharing. We have MediShare, and I like the HSA just because it helps with a tax advantage, but they haven't made a way for that to be compatible. I wondered if you knew if there's a way to do that.
You know, Ray, unfortunately not. I mean, I'm a big fan of the health cost sharing ministries. You know, it could save you a lot of money. I love the concept of Christians bearing one another's burdens. I think it's just especially given the incredibly rising cost of health care and what's going on with traditional insurance, putting you in the driver's seat as a cash payer, being able to take control of your own health care and have the backing of a reputable national organization makes a lot of sense. I also like the HSA. I actually use one myself. Unfortunately, HSAs only work with high deductible health insurance plans, and Christian sharing ministries are not insurance. So members of these health sharing ministries can't take advantage of them. So, you know, you could obviously, as long as you have an HDHP and an HSA, you could have, you know, one of these ministries on top of it, but you'd have a little redundancy there, obviously. You know, I am not aware of a way to accomplish what you're describing as much as I would like to see that happen.
Well, I'm hoping they will eventually find a way to make them compatible.
Well, hopefully so.
I think it's just a great way to do, you know, to save some money for your high deductibles.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And, you know, obviously it does qualify under Obamacare, so you're not penalized for having it. But there is no way, unfortunately, at this time to make it count for the HDHP, which is required for the HSA. But it's a good idea. Hopefully somebody will take that on. And we appreciate your call today, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. Good thoughts, good suggestions there. We do appreciate that. Villa Park, Illinois. Dolores, what's going on in your life? How can we help you today?
Well, I am calling for someone else, but the situation is she has been released from her job, and so she wants to file for unemployment, but the she can't get through to unemployment to even file because there's such a backup. She does have a little bit of severance pay that is due her, but they are trying to get their house ready for sale and actually move out of state. My question is, how does she get to claim to get through to get unemployment, and will she lose that if she moves out of state? They have five children right now, and so money is a big issue for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of things here. Number one is just avoiding these long lines that many people are experiencing. There's a website that allows you to actually avoid standing in line altogether and filing online, and it's careeronestop.org. careeronestop.org. This is a site that's sponsored by the Department of Labor, and you can see state by state, you know, instructions for applying online. You know, lines are long. That's a problem across the country right now. If you can't apply online, unfortunately, there's nothing else to do but get in line and just tough it out. But I would check Career One Stop first just to see whether there's a possibility that you could she could avoid that altogether. If you relocate while you're collecting unemployment, the state where you move does not take over paying your unemployment insurance claim. However, the state where you filed your claim will continue to pay you as long as you fill out the necessary paperwork and you remain eligible to collect. So hopefully that will give her some peace of mind on this move.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about long lines at the unemployment office these days, Rob, you know, it's not like the old days where we had to stand in line for an hour. These days, many states, if not most states, find lines of 4 to 8 hours. Some
wow.
people are spending the night there in a lounge chair. Mm-hmm. So when you throw in COVID and the temperatures in some parts of the country, standing in a 4, 5, 6 hour line is just untenable. But Dolores, Dolores. We appreciate how you're trying to help your friend. We wish you well with that. And again, that website, careeronestop.org. Let's go to Sherrville, Indiana. Hi, John. What's your question?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I appreciate your radio program and listening for a long time. Just don't think I've heard you touch on this particular topic any of the times I've heard you. But I'm a pastor in Northwest Indiana here, and looking to potentially get some type of second or third revenue stream, just to get a little bit more income. Not looking for a get-rich-quick scheme or anything like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of different things on passive income or things that are close to passive income. Trying to reach some of my financial goals. I have some money, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 that I could maybe potentially invest into something, and just wondering, where would you guys maybe recommend to, get into something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a challenge. I mean, just for the sake of our listeners, basically when you talk about passive income, you're talking about income that's derived from, let's say, rental property. It could be from a dividend paying stocks. It could be really income, any income source that just allows you to go out and collect a check just by owning that particular asset. And, we sometimes call it mailbox money. I think the challenge is with the amount of money you're talking about, you're going to be limited. I mean, real estate would be obviously one way a lot of folks will take on income. Now, obviously, there is some maintenance there. So many times when we're talking about passive income, people are looking for things that require little or no effort to maintain. But beyond that, it would be, business activities where you're not materially participating in the business. It could even be dividend paying stocks or MLPs, master limited partnership. So I think, given the amount that you're talking about here, you're probably going to be limited to dividend paying stocks, things like that that could throw off some income for you that would be, obviously taxable, but would just add some nominal amount that you could build up over time. And I think if you got to the place at some point down the road where you could buy a piece of real estate and rent it out, turn that into an income, generating proposition, then that would be great, apart from getting into a business and just being passive in that business. But there's just obviously a lot of factors in there, not to mention you got to make sure you're going into something with the staying power and the knowledge and the expertise so that you're not one of the 80% of new businesses that end up failing. And that's why some of these other more, tried and true approaches, would be better for you. But with $5,000 or $6,000, it's really going to limit you, John, to what you can take advantage of, with stock investing. The only other one that I would say that I've seen a lot of people do, although in many cases you've got to be what's called an accredited investor, meaning you have to have at least $1 million in net worth to get into them, is royalties on oil and gas. So you buy in a fractional interest in a field, that's already has wells on it, it's already producing, and as a fractional owner, you get a royalty. Challenge with that is, and here's the risk, yes, it's mailbox money, check comes every month, but it's all based on the underlying price of the commodity in the ground, which we know what's happened to, oil prices as of late. So anyway, those are some suggestions, but I think given the amount we're talking about, you're probably going to be limited to income producing stocks.
Mm-hmm. John, we appreciate your phone call today. We wish you the best as you think about this and pray about this. We know you will. Thanks so much. I can recommend one thing not to do. I happen to know a person very, very well, a very hardworking person that put 90% of their retirement savings into the vending machine business, and they lost it all over a three-year period.
Wow.
They lost it all, and it was pretty much a scam in reality. So be careful of those kinds of things. Rob, almost
Absolutely.
Out of time here.
Yeah, I see Miriam's question here. Unfortunately, Miriam, we don't have time to take it, but let me just give you an answer. Miriam modified her mortgage 6 years ago, which modification of term. She's asking if she can refinance without losing the benefits. And let me just say quickly, refinancing, Miriam, will replace that mortgage. And so you will replace one with another. So that mortgage will go away along with all of the modification that you have in place. So you'd either need to stay with what you have now or refinance and make sure you get the terms you're looking for that meets your income and all of your requirements. You know, if you stay with the same company, obviously, you wouldn't lose that benefit. But if you go out and replace it, of course, all that goes away.
Hmm. Miriam, we hope that helps. Thank you very much. Sorry we couldn't actually get you on the air, but we are sorely out of time today. But thanks so much for listening. If you're a regular listener to the program and you find some information here helpful, perhaps you'd prayerfully consider telling a friend. That's the only way that we grow and expand. We're here each day. It's a ministry. We're not here just to help you make more money. We're here to help you use the money God's given you in a productive way as a steward, as a manager of what God's provided. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Thanks for listening. Be safe. Join us again tomorrow.